Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes. We'll just read the translation for three, and then we'll read the Sanskrit for four. O best of the Brahmanas, you are directly the son of Prajapati, Lord Brahmaha. Because of your austerities, mystic yoga, and trance, you are considered the best of all Lord Brahma's sons. Text 4. Narayana para vipra. Dharmam guyam param vidu. Karuna sarava shantas. Tvadvidat na tatapare. Narayana para. Those who are always devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narayan, Vipra, the best of the Brahmanas, Dharmam, religious principle, Guyam, the most confidential, Param, supreme, Vidu, no, Karuna, such persons are very something. Merciful to being devotees. Sarva, whose behavior is very exalted. Shanta, peaceful. Tvatvida, like your Lord, like your honor. Na, not. Tata, so. Apare, others. Followers of methods other than devotional service. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. No one is superior to you in peaceful life and mercy, and no one knows better than you how to execute devotional service or how to become the best of the brahmanas. Therefore, you know all the principles of confidential religious life, and no one knows them better than you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Yudhisthira Maharaj knew that Narada Muni is the supreme spiritual master of human society who can teach the path of spiritual liberation, leading to the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, it's for this purpose that Narada Muni compiled his Bhakti Sutra and gave directions in the Narada Pancharatra. To learn about religious principles and the perfection of life, one must take instruction from the disciplic succession of Narada Muni. Our Krishna consciousness movement is directly in the line of the Brahma Sampradaya. Narada Muni received instructions from Lord Brahma and in turn transmitted the instructions to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva instructed his son Shukadeva Goswami, who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Because Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna, there is no difference between them. If we strictly follow the principles of disciplic succession, we are certainly on the right path to spiritual realization, or eternal engagement in devotional service. In the chapter called Transcendental Knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins by saying, Imam Virshvate Yogam Bhaktivanaham Aviyam Virshwan Maname Praha Manur Ishvakave Bravit. Krishna, who knows everything, because that's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaham Samatitani, Vartmanani to Arjuna, Bhavishani to Bhutani, Mam to Vedana Kaschana. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna, I know everything that's happened in the past, everything happening in the present, and everything that will happen in the future. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows. When Krishna speaks something, it's perfect, because he knows everything. If you know everything, you can't make a mistake. And one who repeats what Krishna says, that's as good as Krishna. First of all, living entity is only desiring, being 1/10,000th size, the tip of hair in size, in the heart of the body, he's desiring, and Krishna's sensing that desire, Just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. And then he arranges either through the material energy or the spiritual energy in order to fulfill that desire. Now, the desire to repeat the Bhagavad Gita, for instance, what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that desire generally is spiritual. Depends. If one accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the desire is spiritual. For instance, Krishna says, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshaya vidu sakalene ha mahata yoga nashtam parantapa. This knowledge is thus received in a chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings, they understood in that way, from the course of time the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. Sa evayamayate dya yoga prokta pratana bhakto sime sakase cheti sahasram hietam rahasram hietar uttamam. Because you are my devotee as well as my friend, therefore I'm going to reveal to you this most confidential knowledge. So one can repeat what Krishna says and be a total rascal. Or if one is actually Krishna's friend and hearing in disciple succession and accepting oneself as a servant of Krishna, repeating what Krishna says as a servant, then this knowledge, rahasyam hietad uttamam, this highest knowledge, this highest secret, can be conveyed to others. The highest secret, of course, is that we're dasa, dasa, anudasa, we're simply the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, an insignificant living entity, 1/10,000th the size of the tip of hair in size, and that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unlimited. One who's actually realized that, then it becomes easy to remember that. In other words, to be, see things properly, if you realize things, if you realize something, then you can naturally see it properly. And therefore, whatever you say is going to be perfect. And if you don't see things properly, then sometimes you may get it right, and sometimes you might not get it right. You might not get it perfectly right. Therefore, there is a difference between being an acharya and always getting it right. Acharyamam vijaniyam navamanyate karichit namartya sarvabhudeshu sarvadeva mayo guru. That one should understand that the acharya is as good as myself. Acharyamam vijaniyam acharyamam vijanitam nava martita karichit. One should not think that the acharya is going to die like an ordinary person. Namartya sarva buddha. Let's try it again. Acharyamam vijaniyam nava manyate karichit. One should not disrespect the acharya at any time. So sarva, what's the next words? Acharyamam vijaniyam nava manyate karichit namartya sarva bhuteshu. One should not think the acharya is going to die like an ordinary person. Sarva deva mayo guru, because he's the representative of all the demigods. In other words, one who's awake, there's no question of death. Just like if we leave this room, we go to another room, we haven't died. Similarly, one who's actually awake, then, of course, no one dies, but we think we die. But the acharya who's actually awake, his consciousness never falls into ignorance. Therefore, his death is not like an ordinary human being who has to take another body under the laws of material nature. He goes to another place to serve Krishna, that's all. Now, the exalted acharya, who's actually situated in transcendence, he sees everything clearly, everything in relation to Krishna. He's always in pure consciousness. But there are others who can also explain about Krishna as Krishna says, that, let's see, next thing is, Shiksha Guru Ke Tajani Krishna Swarup Antaryami Bhakti Shesta Eduri Rup. Once you know that the Shiksha Guru, one who is repeating Krishna's message, is also a representative of Krishna. Shiksha Guru Ke Tajani Krishna Swarup. He's also Krishna's expansion. Antaryami, the Supersoul, is this expansion of Krishna. Bhakta Shresa, the best of the devotees. Aduri Rup. These are two forms of Krishna manifested as a Shiksha Guru. But there are two kinds of Shiksha Gurus. One who sees everything objectively, the same as the Acharya. And the Acharyas generally, as our Acharyas have said, he's either a personal expansion of Lord Nityananda, or a personal associate of Srimati Radharani. As the expansion of Lord Nityananda, he's the initiating guru and the Shiksha guru. And as the expansion of associate of Srimati Radharani, he's in a particular rasa. In any case, there are others who don't see everything objectively, but because they follow the path of the Acharyas, they've gotten some understanding or realization, therefore they can explain things subjectively, according to the bhakti path. In other words, they can give relevant instructions to help someone make progress on the bhakti path. They may not give perfect instructions, because Prabhupada writes that the Acharya, in the true sense of the term, who's authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. So devotional service is not just some activities, material activities, do this service, do that service, do this other service, or understand this or understand that. Awaken to the actually devotional service is pure love. Now everyone has love. We have love for everything. We have love for our body especially. But people have expanded their love to the cat, to their dog, to the wife, to their children, to their family, to their home, to their society. We've expanded our love in so many different ways. But one who concentrates his love upon Krishna, then he's known as actually in the full consciousness. And one who knows how to awaken that love in others, then he's can give full spiritual instructions. Otherwise, if we tell people to wake up in the morning, that's also is helpful towards the path of bhakti. Whether the acharya who's situated in transcendence, or just another devotee who's more advanced devotee, says wake up in the morning, and if you wake up in the morning, then you get the Krishna's mercy. Of course, when the person who is situated in transcendence, he may be more influential, perhaps. You have a particular relationship with him. So when he says wake up in the morning, you may feel more obliged to do it. But not necessarily. Not everyone has the same attitude towards the Acharya, one who's actually situated in transcendence. In any case, to repeat Krishna's message means that one is actually surrendered to Krishna. Of course, Krishna says, Agyas chasudanascha samshayatma vinashiti nanyam lokasti na paro na sukham samshayatma naha. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures go to ruin and perish. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So there are different levels of doubt. There's so many levels of doubt. Some people don't believe in this Krishna at all. They don't even know about Krishna. What to speak of believing in him? If you tell them Krishna is God, they'll look at you like you're crazy. What are you talking about? Cowherd boy is God. What do you think? Think I'm crazy or something? They have little information or no information about Krishna or devotional service. They don't even know that they're not their body. They're completely absorbed in ignorance. So these are certainly faithless persons. They have no faith in anything. They only have faith in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. They have the same level of faith as the animals do. Others may have faith in the scriptures, but they don't follow them. They may have knowledge of the scriptures, but they don't have enough faith to follow them. Others, they follow them, but they don't believe, they don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Others may know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they don't surrender to Him. So there are different degrees of that faith. Now, one who has knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and serves Him, then they're actually representatives of the Shiksha, they're actually representatives of the Super Soul. They're actually as an instrument for Krishna. Those who repeat the message of Bhagavad Gita, but they don't believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're called Mayavadis. Or even materialists. They cannot help very much. As a matter of fact, it's said that milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effect. So those who seem to be in the parampara, but they don't believe in Krishna or surrender to Krishna, as Krishna says, idam te na tapaskaya, nabhaktaya kadachana, nachashushushave vacham navchamam yovasuyate, that idam te na tapaskaya, that those who are not interested in austerity, any kind of austerity, especially the austerity of chanting Hare Krishna in this age, which is practically the only austerity, or the main austerity. Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya. One who is not a devotee of Krishna. Kadachana, at any time. Nita shushushave vacham. Or one who is envious of Krishna. Who won't follow whatever Krishna has to say. They'll do the opposite. Then one should not speak to such persons. Because it's just like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. They'll repeat what they've heard, but they'll actually contaminate people with their Mayavadi philosophy or materialistic philosophy. So one has to be careful who one speaks to, otherwise one might become implicated in offenses. Because after all, if you say something to the wrong person and they repeat it and influence others, then one was also responsible for misdirecting others. Still, Prabhupada says the devotees are so generous, so merciful, that even in public places, sometimes they instruct people in general about Krishna consciousness. Of course, they try to do it appropriately, as not to agitate people's minds. And generally, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, that there's really usually not so much of a problem, even if you tell the truth, because those who are like hogs and dogs, they won't understand anything what you're saying. Maya will not allow them to understand or hear what you're saying. As we see sometimes devotees, when they don't want to hear something, they just fall asleep. Simple way of avoiding the philosophy. You can claim you were in class, although you didn't hear anything. And even if you heard it, you just claim I can't understand, it's too complicated. Or it is unreasonable. It wasn't meant for me, it was meant for some super elevated Mahabhagavat, not for me. So Maya will tell us so many different ways we could just avoid Krishna consciousness. So that way we don't have to repeat it to anyone else and bewilder them due to our particular doubts. Because we can't remember anything. So Maya takes away our intelligence, our memory, and allows us to stay in illusion. It's not that we're being forced to get out of illusion. That as soon as we shave our head or move into the temple, then the illusion stays outside. Illusion is not allowed to enter into the temple. It's quarantined from illusion. No illusion is invited even into the temple of Krishna if that's what we want. But if we actually try to hear from the disciple succession, try to understand what it's being said, try to remember what's being said, Because we can't remember what's being said. There's no question of trying to understand it. You can't think about something you can't remember. It was a great class. I understood, I remembered, I got a great realization, but I can't remember what it was. So it wasn't such a great realization that we can't even remember what it was. So we have to remember and then see it from different perspectives so that it becomes real. And then, of course, if we can actually see it from different perspectives, the idea is that we can apply it within our personal lives, in our daily activities. And if we can do that, especially in our relationships with Krishna, the devotees, the innocent, and the non-devotees, those who are atheists, then we can make progress in bhakti if we apply them, that knowledge appropriately, because that's what bhakti is all about. Exchange of love between Krishna, the devotees, the innocent, and how to avoid the atheists so we don't disturb our minds and their minds unnecessarily. Then we can actually become a proper instrument for Krishna gradually and understand what the path of devotional service is and make progress on it and actually become a bona fide member of the parampara. An instrument for Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Govinda. Yeah. Give it to Govinda. So what did you understand from the class, Govinda?
Hare Krishna. Yeah, Maharaj, yes. A person can repeat everything what Krishna says, but if he doesn't believe in Krishna, he's a complete rascal.
Not a complete rascal. It's just...
Yeah.
There are people who are more complete than he is.
Proper guru, a person who believes in Krishna and repeats the same. He's a friend of Krishna.
Yes.
And he repeats the same things. That is the... Then Shiksha guru is... He is a manifestation of Krishna also. And... what I remember that we can avoid Krishna, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in so many different ways. Maya can catch us either we sleep, either we say we don't understand. So we can avoid Krishna consciousness in so many ways, even in temple.
Yes. Maya is especially attentive to the devotees in the temple. To feel their desire to become something other than Krishna's devotee.
Yeah.
Jai. I'd like to say something. Nitai.
So, I remember that you said that Guru is a manifestation either of... personal manifestation of Nityananda Prabhu.
Expansion
of Nityananda Prabhu. And, personal associate of Srimati Radharani. So, the manifestation of expansion of Nityananda Prabhu, he's like initiating Guru, and associate of Srimati Radharani, he is in a particular rasa. And... and what else? Whatever he said also. But then I'll just repeat.
You can give it to Jagannath Sutra right here.
I have a question.
Okay.
So, regarding that we shouldn't bewilder people with Krishna's instructions, Krishna's words. What about the devotees to whom we associate with? Does it also imply to devotee association, or we can sort of be more direct or straight or like not so...
Well, we should give useful information to the devotees too. Something that's appropriate for their consciousness. We don't say, you know, I've realized that you're actually gopi and your dress is blue and it has some stars on it. We should also be a little careful to talk appropriately to the devotees.
So what about sometimes when we say something which is conducive for Krishna consciousness, but people get bewildered?
They're already bewildered.
Devotees also, so...
They're also bewildered.
So is it better to just not say...
Well, it depends what it is. If you tell someone you're not your body and they get bewildered, then what can you do?
I mean, my question is more like, is it better for them to get to know something more and are a little bit agitated, or just...
Well, generally speaking... There are different qualities of speech. It's not only one of them is anuvega karam vakyam satvam priya yitam jaya swarya abhyasanam chaiva vangmana tapa uchite. Austerity of speech means to say, well, Krishna begins with anuvegam, not to agitate people's minds, because usually what begins in the first sentence in Sanskrit is usually the last thing we translate. But he says, satyam, truthful, whatever we say should be truthful, should be pleasing, priya, should be hitam, it should be beneficial, and should follow the Vedic version, and it shouldn't agitate people's minds. So we're not simply thinking about what can I say that doesn't agitate someone's mind. We should also say things that are truthful, pleasing, that are beneficial, and which follow the scripture. If we actually meditate on those things, I'm sure Krishna will give us enough intelligence, we also won't agitate their minds.
So that is something that we should always think about before we say something.
Yeah, that's right. What would be better to think about before you say something? Because we should also think it's for Krishna. We're talking on behalf of Krishna, and therefore we want all these good qualities there. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, rekli ste da Krishna sve znade, pa onda Krishna znade kad ću se I vrat njemu u duhovni svijet.
Translation.
So, you said how Krishna knows everything, so does he also know when we will come back?
That's up to us. But he has a good idea.
Does it? Da, onda možemo malo više njemu govoriti, nećemo Krišne. Lako, ako ne, onda samo se zahvalimo I tako, mislim, tako. Moram biti tu milostivi prema svima živim bićima. Jer...
So, when we go out, we should be merciful towards all living entities. We should be kind and make nice connections with people, and in this way we will be able to give them some little bit of Krishna consciousness.
Sounds like a good idea. Yeah, why not? Okay, anything else? Thank you very much. Kwala Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.